ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం గణానాం త్వా గణపతిం హవామహే. ఆనశ్వన్వన్నోతిభిః సీద సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఇంద్రియార్థేషు వైరాగ్యం అనహంకార ఏవ చ జన్మ మృత్యుజరా వ్యాధి దుఃఖ దోషానుదర్శనం. అనహంకార ఏవ చ, దట్ ఈస్ ది ఫ్రేజ్ దట్ వీఆర్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్. You see, first I have to understand myself. Who am I? That I have to understand. Generally, people put that as the last priority, if at all. The urgent thing is to understand the world, that is the worldly person. And to understand God, that is the religious person. He wants to understand God, that is the priority number one. Are bhai, you have to understand yourself first. Without understanding myself, I have no basis for thought. And the thought now has its origin in self-ignorance. And that thought will understand the world, and that thought will understand the God. What kind of world and what kind of God it will be, you can imagine. Therefore, we have to understand ourselves first. Until I understand myself, all search in life is in vain. As long as I remain ignorant of myself, I have no basis for thought. I have no basis for action. No surprise, the thoughts and actions make us suffer, bind us, because they are originating from ajnana. Ajnana, that is the karana sharira, thought is the sukshma sharira, and action is the sthola sharira. That is the sequence. Therefore, the bondage is there. And also, what I am, that the world is. People have to know, they think that there is a world out there. There is no world out there. You project a world out there. So, if I am petty, jealous, greedy, that is what I create around me. That is the world that I create. That is the society which I create. And that is the society in which I live. Therefore, just assuming that there is a society outside there, there is a world outside there, and then trying to relate with that society or world, is madness, because it is against the truth. And then basing our actions on such a supposition is very painful. So before you try to find the reality, before you try to find what is the world, before you try to find what is God, before you can have any meaningful relationship with another person, it is essential that you understand yourself first. And when I do not understand myself properly, I assume myself to be the ahankara, the ego, which is like I derive the sense of self from possessions. Like, for example, I am giving an example, trying to examine the human existence or human life. A young man is there. He wants to marry a young lady. And he is rich. Therefore, he wants to marry a rich lady. So, he derives his sense of self from the riches. So, I am rich. And therefore, based on that assumption about himself, he chooses his bride. Right? I am rich. Therefore, I have to choose another rich girl. So, like that, what you think of yourself, that makes, that influences your understanding of the world, and therefore you think of yourself wrongly, which means you derive the sense of self wrongly. You derive the sense of self from the possessions, from the body, from emotions, from ideas, from parties and from religions. That is how you derive your sense of self. Then your relationships are all influenced by that sense of self. And that sense of self is false, because ahankara is false. So if you are willing to consider, or with an open mind, I would say, you are not the person that you imagine yourself to be. You should be ready to face it. You are not the person that you are imagining. So, you see, people always ask the question, I am the family person, this and that. We are the family people like that. You see, self-knowledge is not opposed to family life. Self-knowledge is not opposed to relationship. Self-knowledge is not opposed to social life. I am saying it is the self-ignorance that mars, that messes up your relationships, that messes up your life in the society and in the world. You are not the ego. You are not the person that you imagine yourself to be. You have to understand that. That is the value called anahankara evacha. I'll give you an example. You see, there is a water in a pot, and the sun is reflecting in that water. Now that image is there in that water. If the water is shaking, then the image shakes. If the water is dirty, the image appears dirty. If the water is brilliant or pure, then the image appears very clean and brilliant. In all cases, the image is false. And also you have to understand that there is no image in the water. Some physics also you should know. There is no image in the water. There is no light inside the water. I mean, the light that makes you see image, it is not in the water. It is outside the water. You should know that. There may be some light that is inside the water due to refraction. I am not talking of that. The light that makes you see the image is not in the water. The light itself is not in the water. The light reflected by water is what you see. And therefore, the image is not there in the water. Be open. Be open-minded. Don't assume I know. Be open-minded. The image that you see in the mirror is not there in the mirror. You are inferring an image in the mirror. You are inferring an image in the mirror. There is no image in the mirror. It is a trick of the senses, coupled with the inference of the mind, that makes you see an image in the mirror. There is no image in the mirror. Then is there an image outside the mirror? There is no image outside the mirror. The image is in your mind. Nowhere else it is there. Similarly, the persona is an image. It is not real. It is in your mind which is ignorant. There is no persona. There is no ego. It is not real. It is only appearance, like the image. I gave the example of image. Now, water is flowing. Sun reflects in the water. And now the image is there. The image is moving because water is moving. If the water stops flowing and remains static, then the image remains stable. Now, the image says that it makes the water flow. Okay? You got the point? It is not the image which makes the water flow. It is the sun which makes the water flow. It is the sun's energy which makes the water flow. It is not the image which makes the water flow. Now, this is the body-mind. like sukshma sharira, the body is the sthula, and in the mind which is the sukshma sharira, the image of the reality is caught as ego, as I am, which immediately transforms itself into the ego, as I have described. And hair grows, blood flows, heart beats, and the ego is causing all these things. Ego makes the hair grow, ego makes the blood flow, ego makes the heart beat, no? And when there are actions, ego makes the actions possible, no? Ego, this copywriting ego, it is like that image. It is unreal. It is just not there in spite of its appearance. It is mithya. And it is unreal. And who makes the hair grow? Who makes the blood flow? Like who makes the water flow? The sun. Similarly, the sun of Atma, you may give the name God to it if you wish. So the sun of Atma, the self, the true self, that makes all these changes to happen. Not the copywriting ego, the credit-seeking ego is not real. It is a phantom. You are identifying with it and making it real, making it appear real. And therefore, that ego, you are not. The person that you imagine yourself to be, you are not. Then you may ask a very intelligent sounding question. Then who is it that came to the class? The ignorant person has come to the class. True. True. But then by the time you know the truth, that person will not be there. If you are prepared for that, you pursue the truth. Otherwise, don't pursue the truth. If you want to retain that self-seeking ego, if you want to retain it, if you want to remain as a person, then you better don't pursue this truth. Because by the time you get the truth, the individual will not be there. So if you are ready for that, then only you should pursue the truth. So it is like the shadow pursuing light. By the time light arrives, the shadow won't exist there to enjoy the light. Light will be there only that much. Therefore, by the time you know the truth, the ahankara will not be there. Anahankarahayava is the truth. Therefore, you work towards that. You negate the ego. You neutralize the ego. And then don't allow the ego to enter into the situations. In a relationship, don't allow the ego to enter into relationship. It is not self-knowledge which is against relationship. It is the ego which spoils relationship. And also, if you want to have social engagement, the self-knowledge won't obstruct you. It is the ego which makes the social engagement very painful. And so, anahankaraha, one has to understand that. And as long as one assumes that I am doing this, I am doing that, that is ahankara. And also, when it comes to the relations, there are two things. The responsible, that is the ego. The responsible is the ego. The controlling is the ego. You are not responsible for anything. You do not control anything. You should know that. It is like you sit in the movie theater and assume that you are controlling the movie. And you are responsible for what happens on the movie screen. You are neither responsible nor controlling. The responsible and the control are in your mind. They are the illusion. And they create the ego. Therefore, you have to know that. So, be dutiful. Understand that you are not responsible. Understand that you do not control. And so stop acting as if you are controlling. Stop acting as if you are responsible. Act in a dutiful way. And act without seeking the results thereof. Ma karmana ma phalesho kadachana. That is the responsibility. Result is the responsibility. And then eventually there will be no doership. And then you are free from the ahankara. And so you have to work in that direction. Then janma mrutyu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. You see, if the world is negated or the world is described for what it's worth, people who are attached to the world, people who are worldly, they get disturbed. So suppose I say world is unreal, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like that they get disturbed. And it is like saying, suppose a person likes a particular movie very well, very much. It is like in our childhood. So these heroes are there, these cinema heroes are there. And there are fans. So I am fan of a particular hero, somebody else is the fan of another hero. And we don't know whether these two heroes have any competition between them, but we fans have competition. And when I say, he did not act well, he becomes angry. So this is how, when we are attached to a thing, any description about that thing makes us disturbed. For example, one is attached to the bhogas, the sense pleasures. And any description that the sense pleasures are unreal, they are wrong, we need not pursue them, they will not help us, this and that, that makes the other person disturbed. Similarly, world is unreal. Any description that the world is unreal makes the worldly people perturbed. What is he talking? Why always he says world is unreal? Like that they get disturbed. We are living in the world, you know. How it is unreal? We are living in it. That is his argument. So, one should be open a lot. Sarvam dukkham. Vivekinaha. Patanjali. You see, people don't have viveka. They identify with the body-mind. And when you identify with the body-mind and you want ice cream, you get the ice cream sukha, sukha, sukha. You don't get the ice cream dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. This is how sukha, dukkha, dukkha, sukha for a viveki. For a viveki, whether you get the ice cream or you don't get, both are dukkha only. That is the aviveki. Sarvam dukkham vivekinaha. For an aviveki, sometimes sukha, sometimes dukkha. He is caught in the opposites of sukha and dukkha. For a viveki, there is no sukha whatsoever in the world. There is only dukkha in the world. There is sukha only in the atma. This is how a viveki looks at it. Therefore, the viveki's vision, that sarvam dukkham vivekinaha, Patanjali, the viveki's vision makes the worldly person disturbed. So, some of these so-called thinkers have described Bhagavan Buddha and Patanjali as pessimists. Now they can add Shri Krishna to the list because he is talking about that only, janma mrutyu jaravyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. That is the advice. The advice is anudarshanam, means alochanam, Shankara, means you think about it. Contemplate about it. Don't say the world is real. That doesn't help you. You think about it. Is it real? You think about it. You see, somebody said world is unreal, therefore I agree with it. That is not correct. So, I am living in the world, therefore world is real. That is also not correct. You think about it. You examine, investigate. That is called anudarshanam. You look at life. What is life, you know? You see, what we do, we try to create some sentiment, some inner enthusiasm in order to see things in a better light. It is like you go to a movie, it is 2.5 hours headache, you do not get anything out of it. But then at the end of it, if you say it is all waste of energy and waste of effort and waste of money, you don't feel good yourself. Therefore you say, yeah, mostly it is not so good, all right, but the dance was okay, but this scene was okay, more or less, something you say. so that you will feel good. So that mistake you don't do, because that kind of complacency, what you call, it doesn't help. Complacency doesn't help. Compromise doesn't help. In yoga, there is no compromise. There is no compromise in yoga. If you compromise, it won't help. You see, they do alignment of the wheels with a camera and all that they do for the car. They align the wheels and they don't compromise. If they compromise, you won't get a good ride out of it, that car. They won't compromise. They do it perfectly. So, yoga is also like that. If you want to do asana, you do it perfectly. You see, I was doing padahastasana. You have to touch the feet with the hands by bending. And so the instructor told me, instructor told everybody in the group, you have to touch the feet, bend like that. Then I have touched my feet. He noticed me. He said, you are touching the feet. That is wrong. Why? I am touching the feet. No, you are bending the knees. Don't bend the knees. I told her, if I don't bend the knees, I cannot touch the feet. Then he said, it's okay. You bend as much as you can, but don't bend the knees. You may not be able to touch the feet, but don't bend the knees. You get some advantage of that asana. But if you bend the knees and touch the feet, you don't get anything out of it. No compromises. You cannot compromise there. You don't bend the knees. Keep them straight. And whatever way you can bend, you try. You try a little more without bending the knees. That is the compromise. So no compromise. Because if the instructor compromises, it's all right. Bending only, kya hota hai? Then you don't get anything out of that. It is not an asana. You don't get anything out of it. Just aisa karte and get up. You do and get up. But go and have a cup of coffee. So you don't get anything out of it. No compromise in yoga. Complacency and compromise, they defeat the purpose. Therefore, be open and be receptive to the truth. That is called Shraddha also. See the utter meaninglessness of these actions in this world. The utter meaninglessness of the desires under the actions that are followed, that follow the desires. You see that. And see the utter meaninglessness under the misery of the life lived by an egoic entity. You see that. Then that dosha anudarshanam, from that contemplation of the meaninglessness of this life, the misery of this life, and so from that contemplation comes the truth. It is like an alcoholic who has to see first, he has to see that drinking alcohol is totally wrong, entirely unnecessary. You just don't need it. C2H5OH is not the molecule that the body needs. H2O is the molecule that the body needs. You see it clearly. You put this alcohol into a car, don't put it to the mouth. You see it clearly. And then you don't need it. The body doesn't need, the mind doesn't need, I do not need. And it is not helpful. It is bad for health. You see it clearly. Then you can come out of that bad habit. This is how the first principle of Alcoholics Anonymous, dosha darshanam. They don't call it dosha darshanam. They have a name for it. But this is the first. First he should see that. Generally, these people who give up alcohol, they don't see the dosha. They give up for some reason. Because it is interfering with other life, they give up. He cannot go to the office and work properly, and then he is likely to lose the job, therefore he gives up. Not because it is bad. So, as long as, that's why he cannot give up. He gives up and again he gets it back. Whereas, if a person sees clearly, that this is bad. This is bad and bad. He sees clearly. Then he will declare to himself, I will die, but I won't drink. And so then he gave it up. They called it cold turkey method for whatever reason. So that is how they give up. That the dosha darshanam. What we do not see the dosha in the worldly life. On the other hand, we glorify the worldly life. And when the Shastra presents the worldly life in a particular way, we don't follow the Shastra. We distort it. And we try to bend it to our advantage. We do all kinds of mischief with the Shastra. Instead of trying to understand the Shastra as it is, you understand it as it is. And then you look at the life. Don't agree with it. Don't disagree. Just take it as such. What Shri Krishna said. Shri Krishna is a philosopher. He is not a dancer. He is a philosopher. He is not a singer and dancer. He is a philosopher. You should know first Shri Krishna as a philosopher. Because a dancer and singer says something, you need not pay attention to what he says. You see the dance and move on. He is a Jagat Guru. And so look at him like that. And then he says, dosha darshanam. See the utter misery of life. Life is very dull. There is always death, old age. There is so much pain, contradictions, conflict, a sense of utter boredom, a meaninglessness to it all. That is the life. Actions, what actions are you talking about? Actions based on, inspired by desires, actions inspired by ignorance, and actions done by the ego with identification with the body-mind, actions that you seek the results thereof, and actions you do as a doer. What actions are you talking about? It is the meaningless all the way. So see that. So then only the vairagya will come. And in that seeing, you know the truth. So some of these thinkers told, Vivek Patanjali is a pessimist. And so Shri Krishna is also a pessimist. Buddha is another pessimist. Buddha is, because he said sarvam dukkham, therefore he is a pessimist. You see, it is not about optimism and pessimism. What is optimism? Yeah, I will make a lot of money and enjoy life. That is optimism. What is pessimism? I may not get a lot of money. That is pessimism. What level it is? This optimism, pessimism, is it level of philosophy? It is a high school student's level. And you put philosophers into that paradigm? Silly. In Atma, there is no optimism, there is no pessimism. In the one's true self. It is beyond all these things. These are some silly emotions of an ignorant mind, this optimism and pessimism. A professor told me, how Buddha is a pessimist. I told him, sir, you are a professor, language professor. Language professor, he's not a science professor. Language professor means he should have a better understanding about life and all that, you know. So you don't make such statements like Buddha is pessimist, Patanjali is pessimist. Don't say like that. You examine life and see what they say is it has some sense. Then he came back to me after a week and told, yes, yes, Swamiji, you are right. Definitely they are not pessimists. We are inexperienced. That is what it is. These youngsters, they are inexperienced. And therefore they feel the world is in their pocket. So then they label like that. Because people are imprisoned in self-centered activity. The ego's activity, the self-centered activity. And we are imprisoned in that. And this self-centered activity is not going to end. It will continue till the last breath. And also we are wrapped up in a dream that we call life. And we are enclosed in our thoughts under the agony, the superstitions, under the routine of habit, the mechanicalness of thoughts, So we are caught in all of that. And the ego-centered activities, same ego-centered activities, same in the sense, activities of ambition, desires, competition, seeking status, position, power, etc., greed for things of the world, envy about others who do better than us. So all these, this is how we are caught in that life. Where is joy in that life? And also, there is what is called dependence, the psychological dependence. So, like as young people or as children, we are dependent upon parents. And as youngsters also, we are dependent upon parents. And then we are dependent upon a university degree, very badly dependent upon a university degree. You hold on to that degree with dear life. And then we are dependent upon a job, money. And then we become old eventually. Then we are dependent upon our children to take care of us. And then we are dependent upon the society. And every one of these things fail us. Money we depend upon, it fails us. Children we depend upon, they fail us. Everything fails us. Nothing fulfills. We depend upon the society, it fails us. And so when everything fails, then we depend upon religion, a faith. The moment you depend upon faith, it makes you afraid. It puts that fear of papa and punya into your mind. And so, it makes you afraid. There is always dependence. And with every dependence, there is fear. Because the other on what I am dependent, it may fail me. So there is fear. And there is conflict. Conflict is going on. This is how we live a life. So we depend upon a person. We depend upon idea, a particular idea that this party is good. So that is an idea. You depend upon that idea. And then that party doesn't win, you become sad. So this is how on a political party we depend. And on a system we depend. We depend upon a system. This system will save me. Like that we depend upon a system. And then we depend upon an experience. This experience should repeat so that I will be happy. So, as we depend more and more on one thing after the other, that we cultivate fear. And as we cultivate fear, we depend and we are afraid. We are afraid, we depend. We depend, we are afraid. In all this, one fundamental truth is we are running away from ourselves. When you depend upon something, you are running away from yourself. When you say you depend upon a political party, you are running away from yourself. You depend upon a faith, you are running away from yourself. You depend upon a system, on a person, you are running away from yourself. You are not settling down and staying with yourself in all these dependences. And so then old age comes. In the meanwhile, the youth is gone and the energy of the body is gone. Old age comes. So in the old age, we lose all joy in life and become dull. And the dependence increases. And emotional things, now emotions are piled up. Emotional things like children, etc., weigh us down. Now so many emotions, very conflicting emotions. The son, S.O.N. son, now he is not married, so that weighs us down. He is married, but the marriage is shaky, that weighs us down. The daughter-in-law is very good-looking, but not obliging, so weighs us down. She is obliging, but not very good-looking, so it weighs us down. And then the son and the daughter-in-law are living happily, and they are living so happily that the son stopped looking at me, weighs me down. They are not living happily. The son is always coming to me and saying, my wife is not, I am fighting with my wife. So then that weighs me down. See, what a conflict it is. People live in Am I telling something meaningful or some am I just showing off? What is going on? So, with careworn faces, without a smile, and you see, there is an experiment. This is advised, even students of Vedanta are advised to do this experiment. Like, you go to a center, stand on the footpath, and watch people, but take care, don't watch as an ego. An egoless observation, a centerless observation, that you have to do. Can you do that? You have to do. If you watch as an ego, then the experiment will be counterproductive. It will make you more egoic. So don't be an ego. Be like child, the egoless awareness, and then watch. Once I was watching, the red light came in India. And then this front person stopped with a thud because he wanted to skip, but he could not skip now. And he is obliging the red light in India. Many people in Hyderabad, they don't care for red light also. But anyway, this person stopped. And he stopped with a break. And I can see his face is filled with consternation. And then the person stopped behind him. He was already mouthing words against the front driver, what kind of a driver he is. He stops like that, he could have gone. And then a line built up, it backs up. And then I was looking at the other faces. One person feels like, he looks like he wants to jump all over these people and go ahead. He feels like doing that, he appeared like that to me. I looked at all these faces. I could see there is no joy in anybody. Even a red light and a wait of 2 minutes is enough to make everybody annoyed and disturbed, and there is no joy, they are very impatient and all that. This is what is what I could see. I did not see it like with an ego, a centerless observation. So I could see. Then I thought, this is how human life is. You stand in a Manhattan, you can do that in Manhattan also. I did it one time in Manhattan. So, unexpectedly, I was standing there and it is the office time. And I was standing. Then the people are going. Everyone is for oneself. He is in the middle of 1,000 people, but he is not with anybody. He is for himself. And he is carrying his backpack, walking very briskly. And somebody, in my observation, I did not notice, somebody was coming from this side. He pushed me aside and he moved forward. And then I observed him also. I could say, well, it occurred to me, you don't mind my saying this, it occurred to me that I was the only guy with some inner leisure. Nobody else seemed to have any leisure. Everybody is in a hurry. You have to move forward, you have to skirt somebody, you have to take one step ahead of that somebody because he is slowing down, like slowing you down like that. So I could see, nobody has any inner leisure. Nobody has any inner leisure. It looked as if I am the only guy that has inner leisure. In New York, the world capital of economy, I am the only guy who has some leisure. I do not contribute anything to the economy. That is what I felt. Therefore, the human life is like that. And the janma, I was born, and then they make it a big deal about it, that I was born and I am this, I am that, based on birth, without ever knowing what is birth, and then living in fear of death, mrutyu, I should not die. Then old age, and in old age, there is one serious problem. The old age is, in old age what happens is, Shankara put it very correctly, very nicely in Bhajagovinda also, there is a gulf between body and mind. That is how it happens in the old age. The mind continues to remain active and weighed down with concerns, fears and needs, demands, You see, a young man has 10 demands, the old man must have 4 or 5 demands. No, it is not like that. A young man has 10 demands, the old man has 20 demands. So, that is the way in which the mind is loaded with more expectations, more demands and accumulated emotions, memories. So, this is how mind is so complex and so agitated and so restless, whereas the body doesn't cooperate. At one time, the body was keeping pace with the mind. I want to do this, I want to do that, this, I want to do 5 things, but body is able to cope up with all that. But now, I want to not 5 things, I want to do 20 things. Bahu shakha yanantascha buddhayaha vyavasayinam. Arey, old age has come, at least do only 1 thing, that is self-knowledge, nothing else, do it now. Not like that. So many things he wants to do. He has to take care of grandson, granddaughter, this, that. Then he has to do something about religion, he has to do something about culture, he has to do so many things, except knowing the self, everything he has to do. And then body doesn't cooperate. Body gives up. So, very painful it is. And the gulf between the body and the mind, it becomes more. You see, what is the suffering of a bedridden person? What is the suffering? Once I was down with fever. And then I was lying down. The body is having pains, you know. Fever means the body is not comfortable at all. And so the body is obviously in suffering. And it cannot function. It just lies down. Then I was lying down. And then I was very uncomfortable. Then I asked this question, why am I uncomfortable? Why? Is the entire discomfort is entirely because is due to the body pain only? No. Part of the discomfort is because of the body pain, true. But entire discomfort, that unease, I am not at ease, I am not at ease, I am very uneasy. That unease or uneasiness is not entirely because of the body pain. Bodily pain contributes to some extent. I am uneasy because of the pain in the body. But I am uneasy because I have put so many goals before me. This I have to do, that I have to do. I have to go here, I have to go there. I have to do this, I have to do that. So many goals are there. That's why I am uneasy. Oh, this is the gulf between the mind and the body. And then, what is it that I have to do? Am I doing anything? Am I controlling anything? Am I responsible for anything? Am I doer in the first place? Who am I? What am I? Slowly, the gulf between the body and the mind is bridged. They started coming together. Now at the end of this exercise, my body pain remained the same. It did not improve or reduce, but my uneasiness has come down. Now there is only body pain. In a way, I have bridged the gulf between the mind and the body. And then some friend came and he brought some tablets. And I took those tablets and laid down. Peaceably, with peace, I laid down. And then after 2-3 hours, somebody gave me some food. I ate it and I lay down. I had the best rest of my life. And so, this is what happened. It means not I, you means not you. So, this is how the bridge, the gulf between the mind and the body, it is a curse in the old age. The old guy, his body doesn't cooperate, he cannot move fast, but his mind is running faster than a young man's mind. That is the curse of the old age. You learn to meditate now. Now you practice meditation. So that while meditating one can die. One has to die while meditating, not worrying about the body and health. One has to die while meditating. So, ఓమిత్యేకాక్షరం బ్రహ్మ వ్యాహరన్ మామనుస్మరన్ యః ప్రయాతి త్యజన్ దేహం సయాతి పరమాంగతిం. గీత అష్టమాధ్యాయ. సో యు సే ఓం అండ్ యు కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ ది సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ హౌ ఐ వాంట్ టు డై. సో దిస్ వే యు హ్యావ్ టు బ్రిడ్జ్ ది గల్ఫ్ బిట్వీన్ ది మైండ్ అండ్ ది బాడీ అండ్ దెన్ ది బాడీ డిజిబిలిటీ the body problem is no more a serious problem. It remains at the level of the physical. It will be there. Body doesn't become any better. Therefore, that jara, old age, one has to know how to handle old age. You see, Max Muller said, I have learnt how to live from Gita. I have learnt how to die from Gita. That is what he said. I put it in my words. I did not quote verbatim. Therefore, so that the dosha one has to see, one should stop glorifying a worldly life and glorifying the bhogas and the pleasures, etc. And one should stop glorifying egoic state, that body identified egoic state, that persona you have to realize that it is false. How can you realize that it is false when you are glorifying it? So you should stop glorifying that and so see the truth correctly. Call the spade a spade. Don't put some sentimental decorations around it. So call the spade a spade. So janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That creates that vairagya and that gives us an objective way of looking at things, and then we will see everything in its proper light, and then what needs to be done gets done. You don't do what needs to be done gets done. You do not control anything. You are not responsible for anything. So this is also a way of living, another way of living. So that is an important qualification for gaining the knowledge of the self. Asaktiranabhishvangaha putradara gruhadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. Here Shankara has written a lot for this phrase, janma mrityu jara, a lot he has written. While reading the verse, I noticed it. Some of it I have covered. He says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. There I am going back. So janma dukkham, mrityuhu dukkham, jara dukkham, vyadhihi dukkham. Like that you have to do anvaya. That is what he says. So it is not janma mrityu jara vyadhi and dukkha. No. It is janma dukkha, jara dukkha, vyadhi dukkha, and mrityu dukkha. And this dukkha itself is dosha. This is how you have to look at it. He gave some simple explanation. Then he says, what is this dukkha dosha anudarshanam? Everything is dukkha. So why we should see this dosha? You see, some people have a sentiment. I may not be able to put it in the right words. Their sentiment is, why do you say the cup is half empty? Why don't you say half full? Some sentiment like that. That may be correct in a different context. When you take the world as real and the experiences of the world, etc., are real and we have to do something about it, then you may have to have some optimistic approach. And so you have to look at it as cup is half full instead of half empty. Whereas a Zen master will say, see the emptiness. Full, don't worry about the full. Look at the emptiness. That is what a Zen master would say. I am not getting it. The Zen master has said something about it. So better you learn to look at the emptiness so that you can establish some emptiness within and then you can know the truth. That is a different paradigm. So the paradigm shift is what we are talking about. You should not try to pull them down to the lower paradigm and try to make a connection. That creates conflict. Therefore, this doshanudarshanam, one should not be sentimental about it. Suppose you say, Swamiji, what are you talking about? Janma, there is nice, wonderful, everybody is happy, they are singing songs. What is dukkham in it? Suppose you say like that. So, jara, what is the dukkham? I lived a full life. I have all my sons are married, all my daughters are married, and they are living a very happy and comfortable life. All my grandsons come and sit in my thing, and I am happy, lived a full life, living also a full life. What is wrong with it? No, that kind of sentimentalism. If you allow such a sentimentalism to cloud your thinking, I say you are living a dream, and the dream will be shattered much sooner than what one can expect. So, because the nature is unforgiving and it is ruthless, it won't sustain our dreams. It has its own flow, and the nature is utterly indifferent. It is just not, it doesn't show any respect to anything, utterly indifferent. And anyway, so the dukkha doshanu darshanam, it is essential. Shankara takes up this point, he explains it. So janmadishu dukkha doshanu darshanat dehendriya vishaya bhogeshu vairagyam upajayate. Unless you see dosha, you cannot get that dispassion. So deha, indriya and vishaya bhoga. So when you see the janma dosha, then dehabhimana will be neutralized. You have to neutralize dehabhimana, a topic which I thought I concluded, but I am bringing it back. So you have to neutralize the dehabhimana. I am not this body. In fact, this is not a body at all. It is a conglomerate of the five elements. It is not a body. Body is a name given to it. It is by the mind. And a body is an idea in the mind. It is a flow of sensations. It is not a body. It is a flow of sensations. And let me stop glorifying it. I should not glorify this. I am aham brahmanaha. You are glorifying the body. I am a sannyasi. You are glorifying the body. You don't glorify the body. And janma, don't glorify any such thing. That will lead to identification and lead to all kinds of problems. So don't glorify. Now you see dosha. This holds me back. And when it is sick, I am held back. And therefore I have to keep it healthy. If it is hungry, it holds me back. Therefore I have to feed it. And I have to keep it going so that it won't hold me back. I am not this. I should not glorify this. I have to disidentify with this. This is how dosha darshana will help. What is a body? You are talking of janma, mrityu, etc. What is a body? Shall I give you a definition of the body? It is a machine that manufactures impurity. Now, do you like to identify with it? You see, in History Channel, I have seen one program. The name of the program is Dirty Jobs. Now you know what it is. And so the body is one such thing it is. It is a machine that manufactures impurity. The body does only one thing. And that is manufacturing impurity. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't do anything else. So don't glorify it. Don't try to put it on a higher pedestal by in some cultural name or religious name or social thinking or whatever. Don't glorify. Stop glorifying. See the dosha. Don't decorate the curtain. See what is behind the curtain. You keep all kinds of mess behind the curtain and start decorating the curtain. So that is what they do. You see, I went to give a talk somewhere. They put a table and put one orange cloth, silken cloth upon it, very beautiful cloth. Then for some reason, for the mic was not properly set or whatever, I found this cloth is in the way, coming in the way, and so I removed it. Then somebody said, Swamiji, don't remove that. Why? I don't need cloth. I want a table only to put my book. No, no, don't remove the cloth. Keep it. So now you know. So people decorate the curtain. They decorate the curtain. And behind the curtain, what is? You have to look into that. So this is the body, is the, it is the curtain, it is. Behind the body there is a mind. Look at what is there. Remove all the impurities. Behind the mind there is Atma. Try, know that yourself and be liberated. There is God behind all this. Don't decorate the curtain. So, dosha darshanam vairagyam upajayate, Shankara. Tataha pratyagatmani pravurtihi karananam atma darshanaya. Why vairagya? Why we want atma only? Atma darshanam. That is what we want, self-knowledge. Why vairagya? Without vairagya, the karanas will be outgoing. And when the karana means the mind and the sense organs, when they are outgoing, what pratyakatma darshanam, atma darshanam won't happen. You will only be living in the world and be a worldly person and suffer. Therefore, the karanas, the sense organs, must stop going outside. A bahirmukha can never ever know the truth. A bahirmukha, an outgoing guy, will never know the truth. He will be caught in the sense pleasures forever. You should stop the sense organs going into the world and close the eyes, stop listening to the sounds, sit straight and look at the mind, drop all the mental effort and just abide in yourself. That is what you have to do. And if you say, oh, I am sitting here doing meditation, great, great things are going on, I am missing all of them, that is what you say, what meditation you will do. If everything is wonderful, things are there out in the world, why should you do meditation at all? Therefore, it is a contradiction. And therefore, you have to stop outgoing. Bahirmukha will never know the truth. You should know that. And you have to become antarmukha. And to become antarmukha, you need to have intense dispassion. And for that dispassion, you need to have that dosha darshanam. Evam jnana hetutvat jnanam uchyate janmadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Therefore, dosha darshanam, dosha alochanam, contemplating upon the dosha, the blemish associated with the worldly life, constantly contemplating upon the blemishes associated with the worldly life, will put you in the right track, eventually leading to the realization of the self. Therefore, that is put as a quality in the list of jnanam. Shankara explains like that. Then asaktihi, asakti ranavishvangaha, putradara gruhadishu. Sakti, you see, this word sakti has two meanings. The context is there. One is attachment, the other is glue-like action. Glue, you know, it is called sakti. When you put a glue, what will happen? The glue in this country, so if I put this glue to the paper and put here, so now the glue remains, the paper remains sticking. It won't come out. That is called sakti. Glue-like attachment. That is the sakti. So, that sakti should not be there. Means non-attachment. Asakti is non-attachment. You may wonder, we seem to have covered some of these points, again it is coming. You see, closely related, vairagya, and then dosha darshanam, then non-attachment. So they are closely related things. So if you get one, you get the other automatically. So this asakti, what is this? Sanga nimitteshu vishayeshu priti matram sakti tadabhavaha. So, you do not have any attraction, any love, any goodwill, or even any good feeling towards the things of the world which are likely to bind you. That is how Shankara looks at it. I try to translate his expression. And so, you see, food is there, property is there, that is where Shakti operates. So, property is there, take property. So, what is the value of the property? You see, suppose you take this example of a diamond necklace, or diamond ring or diamond necklace, some example I am giving. Other example also can be given, but this came handy, so I am giving that, please don't mind. So a diamond necklace is there. What is the value of a diamond necklace? Zero. Zero. What is its value? Why should it cost anything at all? A diamond necklace, why should it cost anything at all? In fact, I will say, if you ask me, what is the value of a cup of coffee? $1.5. What is the value of a diamond necklace? Zero. Because only when you want to do psychological aggrandizement through the diamond necklace, it acquires value. That is its value. This psychological aggrandizement through property, through shelter, home. You see, home is there. What is the value of a 5-bedroom home? What is its value? Zero. Because you don't need 5 bedrooms, you need 1 bedroom. Not 5 bedrooms. Okay? Just I am giving an example, don't take it too much to the heart. So take it a light way. So, you have one home here. You have another home in Florida. What is the value of the Florida home? Zero. But it is not zero. It is a lot. Because you aggrandize yourself through property. How can you aggrandize yourself through property? Can you put the property on your head and move around or what? Psychological aggrandizement through property creates a false value to the property. What is the value of the dress? If the dress is value, it is valued at $200 when it is psychological aggrandizement. If there is no psychological aggrandizement, then it could be as simple as a $15 thing it is. Even a second-hand dress is enough. You don't need a new dress. A second-hand washed dress is sold on the footpath in India. You can go there and give him some, he is a poor guy in any case, give him some money and purchase those pants and shirts and you can wear them for some more time. You don't need a new dress. A new dress, then before wearing the new dress, some mangalacharanam. All this is your religious and social conditioning. It is all psychological aggrandizement. We use religion for psychological aggrandizement. That is not religion. I will tell you what is religion in a given class. You make psychological aggrandizement, that is not religion. That is egoism in the name of religion. God, you don't get God that way, I assure you. You don't get God by psychological aggrandizement. God is not your nephew or niece. Anyway, so the point is, the property has acquired value because of psychological aggrandizement. In itself, the property has no meaning. Leave alone value, has no meaning. What is property? Has no meaning. It is all in your head. So, one can sleep in one room, in one bed. So, but psychologically, property becomes extraordinarily significant because we assume that the property gives me power, position, title, name, prestige. All these things I get from property. It is a huge ego trip it is. And thus, the property has acquired a value. And now, I am attached to that property because it is valued property. So, I tell you, as long as we use property, dress, ornaments, or a hairstyle, or some such possessions psychologically, for psychological aggrandizement, as long as we use them like that, there is bound to be conflict in life. The sense of ownership, the sense of acquisitiveness, the sense of competitive acquisitiveness, the sense of comparing with others, and then acquisitiveness, and so all of this is the major cause of appalling misery in people's lives. So, if a person wants to be wise, he should stop all psychological aggrandizement. He should know, this is all mithya, this is just not real. You are wrapped up in a dream, which you call life. There is no reality to all this. This is all a passing show. It is all mithya, just not there at all. In spite of its appearance, it is just not there. Know that the truth. Become free from the worldliness. Know the self as the divinity, as the God, and be liberated. That is how these values help us. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurujo Namaha Harihi Om Tatsit Satsang.